The following podcast has been recorded under the influence of alcohol. While not intentionally offensive, things are said, feelings may be hurt, and fucks are not given. Clearly, it's the beer's fault.
To episode 52 of Good Beer, Bad Movie Night, the podcast dedicated to movies of questionable quality and the frosty adult beverages that help make them tolerable. Tonight's feature presentation, thank you, Dave, for selecting this one.
You're welcome.
And you know what? I've already forgotten the year. What is it, 2007?
Four.
2004. From 2004, Kung Fu Hustle. It's like a warm blanket you just wrap around yourself and cuddle with it a little bit.
I wouldn't go that far.
Oh, well.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't either.
Well, it's a bitchin' movie, so you're all both are wrong.
Maybe. Yeah, but I don't want to cuddle with it.
Okay, fine. That's fine. Anyway, Kung Fu Hustle from 2004. It is a comedy from director, actor, martial artist Stephen Chow. He's pretty amazing. So Dave is going to do our 6-minute synopsis.
Did you figure what it was called?
I'm going off script here, which is always a bad thing.
Yeah, my name is Pete.
Exactly. So to introduce Dave again, Dave, how are you, Dave?
Thank you. For a moment there, I forgot my own name. I'm doing well, thank you.
Fantastic. Kathleen's with us too. Hi, Kathleen.
Hello.
Troy, what's up, bud?
I'm doing good. He said, looking at Dave.
Superman does good. You do well.
Very good. My name
is Pete. Three episodes in a row where they have done that.
It's the new shtick, I think. My name is Pete. Thank you for joining us tonight here on episode number 52. Again, tonight's presentation, Kung Fu Hustle 2004. Dave's going to do the 6-minute synopsis. After the 6-minute synopsis, we are going to dive into a beer. Tonight's beers are sort of themed.
What?
Dare I ask?
We'll get to that when we get to that. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to have a beer. We're going to talk about the beer. We're going to go back and talk about the movie. When after that, we will have another beer. Talk about that one. Pretty sure Kathleen's going to like that one. The second beer. Right.
I mean, I was promised good beer.
After that second beer, we will come back. We will wrap up the movie with our six-pack rating. Again, off script. Stop that.
We're going to do the rating off script?
We're going to do the rating off script, for sure. But we will wrap up with the six-pack rating, where we'll let you know just how many beers you need.
Do, 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 do.
That's not the right line.
I know.
He's off script, which then made me miss my cue.
I thought we'd do something wacky and wild, and this is just not working.
It doesn't work. Come on, you know that your wacky needs to be planned in advance or no one else knows what's going on.
No mornings, right. Ouch. My funny is planned, damn it.
That's what I said.
Funny is now done by appointment.
Right. 7:15, funny time. So, we're going to have some beers. We're going to talk about this movie. And if we have nothing else to do, we want to jump right into it.
I have to
change my
klaxon.
You need a klaxon, klax off over there.
It's a little...
So Dave has 6 minutes to do the synopsis. He's going to talk about the movie from top to bottom.
Yes.
Stem to stern.
There we go.
No, the dreaded klaxon.
Oh, I can pick a different and one.
No, that's fine. That's what I'm prepared for.
And Dave has a window of opportunity to succeed or fail. And if he fails, he needs to sing a song of our asking. Troy, you get a song up. I'm so
confident you are that I'm not going to do this.
I'm pretty sure this is going to be a big, fat turd.
I appreciate the vote of confidence, Pete.
I think you can do it.
I love you, Dave.
Go, Dave.
All right.
I'm rooting for you, man.
Are you ready? Right.
I don't want to see failure.
Set, go.
We open on a police station as everyone's quietly listening to the sound of the leader of the crocodile gang kicking the shit out of the police commissioner for arresting his girlfriend. He and his crew walk into the street to find themselves surrounded by hordes of black-suited gangsters armed with hand axes. Vastly outnumbered, the leader of the Crocodile Gang fires a flare into the air to call for backup. Brother Sum, leader of the appropriately named Axe Gang, informs the Crocodile Gang leader, calling for help won't matter as the Crocodile Gang all work for him now. The Axe Gang guns down the Crocs, Gang's entourage, and Brother Sum then hacks the Crocodile leader to death with an axe, so if nothing else, he stays scrupulously on brand. He then shoots his girlfriend in the back, thus establishing the audience just how strong and ruthless they are. Cut to a strange axe-wielding dance number intercut with scenes of their violent deeds. So this is a time of lawlessness controlled by powerful gangs. To find peace, the people move out to poor remote towns in which the gangs have no interest. One such remote town is, cut two, Pigsty Alley, a slummy cluster of tenement buildings run by an oily, lecherous landlord who's gross yet apparently not completely disliked by the people. Panning through the town, we see a young barber trying to bathe under a spigot in the town square when the water suddenly shuts off. Hair full of shampoo and his pants hanging off his ass, he calls out to the landlady asking what happened to the water. She emerges from the upstairs window wearing a flowing nightgown, hair and curlers, and a cigarette clamped in her frowning mouth. She charges down to the ground floor to berate the young barber for complaining about the water when he won't pay his rent. She then proceeds to lecture the baker, the tailor, the laborer, and the rest of the townsfolk, warning them to pay their rent on time. Walking back up, she catches her husband peeking into the woman's shower, proceeds to beat the living shit out of him, and throws him out of the third window where he lays motionless in the town square, embarrassed yet seemingly unharmed. Two small-time criminals, the slim Singh and the corpulent Bone, enter the town claiming to be members of the Axe Gang, but not before mean-spiritedly stomping on a local kid's soccer ball. They attempt to extort money in a free haircut out of the still bare-assed barber. The barber doesn't believe the petty thugs to be members of the Axe Gang and, unwavering, refuses to give them anything. The commotion attracts nearby townsfolk who step in to protect the barber. While Singh attempts to intimidate the people and failing spectacularly, the barber returns with a landlady. Singh barely gets a word out before the landlady slaps the shit out of him with her slipper, driving him away. In a final attempt to bluff his way out of the situation, Singh ignites a firecracker, saying he's calling for reinforcements. He chucks the firecracker over a fence where it blows the hat off a member of the real Axe Gang, walking up with about a dozen of his crew. Singh blames the firecracker on the townsfolk. The Axe Gang approaches the landlady, who tells the townsfolk to go back inside, then hauls ass back to her own apartment. Undeterred, the bare-assed barber confronts the gang's crew member, the gang crew's leader, with a comically blown-up hat and says he's not afraid. The leader swings his axe for the barber's head, and boom! A beat later, we see the barber unharmed, everyone standing motionless in confusion, while the now crippled crew leader bobbles helplessly in a barrel 30 feet away. The crew fire a signal flare, calling hundreds of Axe Gang reinforcements to descend upon the town, including Brother Sum himself. He threatens to burn a mother and child alive unless they turn over the perpetrator, when suddenly the laborer, tailor, and baker reveal themselves to be Kung Fu masters. They kick the crap out of the dozens of Axe Gang members, sending the rest running. Cut back to the Axe Gang's headquarters, where we see they've captured Singh and Bone. They are nearly axed to death when Singh reveals he's a master lockpicker. Impressed, the gang spares their lives and considers letting them in the gang if they prove their resolve by killing someone. Back at Singh and Bone's home, which for some reason is in a traffic tower in the middle of an intersection, Singh reveals that as a child, a vagrant fooled him into believing that he was a natural kung fu master, tricking him into trading his life savings for a cheap kung fu pamphlet. Using what he learned in the pamphlet, young Singh tried to save a mute girl from bullies. Not only did he get a thorough and unmitigated beatdown, but the bullies revealed the pamphlet as a joke and all stood around and peed on him. Flash forward to present day, where Singh explains that he's determined to be a bad guy since good guys get robbed, beaten, and peed on. To prove his point, he cruelly steals ice cream from a conspicuously nonverbal street vendor. Back at Pigsty Alley, despite having saved the town, the landlady berates and evicts the labor baker and tailor for drawing the ire of the Axe Gang. The townsfolk loudly protest the eviction, yelling and jeering until the lady yells for everyone to shut the hell up with a deafening roar that shakes the building and shocking both the townsfolk and Singh and Bone, who have decided to kill the landlady for their Axe Gang initiation. This, of course, fails stupendously as Singh manages to somehow get stabbed four times and get bitten on the mouth by two cobras. He manages to escape to his traffic tower by zipping away Looney Tunes Roadrunner style. Now, stuck full of knives and mouth swollen with cobra venom, Singh somehow manages to heal himself quickly, pounding the shit out of the inside of the traffic tower and leaving big hand-shaped dents. Later, Bone asks about his quick recovery, but Singh can't explain what happened. Super pissed that his gang get their asses kicked, Brother Sum hires the harpists, blind musicians, assassins, to kill the three martial artists at Pigsty Alley. The harpists reveal him as three martial arts masters, 12 Kicks, Iron Fist, and Hexagon staff. They also explain the number one killer is the Beast, who lives in an asylum. The harpists come to Pigsty Alley at night and quietly kill 12 Kicks, then in a pitched battle defeat Iron Tyler and Hexagon Baker. It's hard to explain how the harpists fight. They send mystical blades towards enemies with a magical Guzheng harp. Anyway, but just before they kill the injured Taylor and Baker, landlady's powerful yell unstrings the harp, a rhetoric useless. The harpists, alarmed by the presence of another master, charge toward them to investigate the source of the roar, but the landlord and landlady now reveal themselves as powerful kung fu masters, effortlessly bitch-slapping down to their bare asses, setting them off screaming. Brother Sum, who had been observing the entire encounter from his car, screams at his driver to get them out of there, but the couple are already sitting quietly in the car with them.
One minute.
Landlady issues a nonverbal knuckle cracky warning with the spirit of Bruce Lee, in the spirit of Bruce Lee to Brother Sun, who takes a hint and he hauls ass with the rest of his gang. Back home, Singh, increasingly frustrated, gets slapped around, attempts to rob the ice cream vendor, discovers she's the little girl he tried to save, whatever. Pee showers. He then brought Brother Sam, who promises to make a member of the Axe Gang if he can use his lockpicking skills to free the beast. He does so. The beast is brought before the Axe Gang and proves himself by catching a bullet. He's distracted by a nearby casino patrons who are none other than landlord and landlady, who recognizes the fated couple. They fight to a standstill in this weird pretzel lock, and Brother Sam instructs Singh to kill the landlord and landlady, but instead he attacks the beast, who ends with the beast literally beating Singh's head into the floor. During the fray, the fated couple flee with Singh's battered body. Brother Sam lectures the beast for letting them escape, resulting in the beast casually knocking his head around like a gruesome top and goes after him. Brother Sam does not appear to survive this. Back at Pigsty Alley, Singh's body is wrapped in bandages like a mummy and begins to heal rapidly, to the surprise of the landlord and landlady. They deduce that he is a natural-born kung fu genius, which he proves by effortlessly clobbering the hundreds of ex-gang members who have descended upon the town, descending and flying hilariously into windows and buildings. Finally, Singh confronts the beast, who reveals the toad technique, the weird and kind of gross kung fu style. Blast him with the troposphere. He comes down and finds enlightenment, blasts him with the Buddha's palm and crushing the beast to the ground. And then he admits defeat, tries to kill him, fails, and then becomes Singh's disciple. Cut to candy shop. He runs a candy shop, and the end.
Whew. 6 minutes, 25 seconds. Well done.
I believe your vocal cords are on fire.
See, I'm going to need a moment.
Gums are probably on fire from the speed at which you were just talking.
Did you snap any teeth off while you're...
I don't know, but I might have accidentally spoke some of my stomach out into my mouth.
Spoke some stomach into your mouth?
That's something that should happen in this movie, don't you?
Nothing that a nice cold beer wouldn't fix.
I think you have well earned your first beer break.
Indeed. So, excellent job, Dave. Thank you so very much. You have succeeded.
And no we will singing go, for me.
No singing for you.
Pete is disappointed.
I am disappointed, and everyone is applauding because no one wants to hear that.
Aw, mean. You're so mean.
Dave's dulcet baritone would be delightful. But we need a beer, so let's go do that.
Okay.
Taste colors beyond any known spectrum as phonic euphoria cascades into your consciousness. Observe the laws of physics no longer applying to an existence that confines. Space and time will unravel and reform to a screaming new dawn, bursting with infinite possibility. It's as easy as listening to the Corrupted Youth Podcast, where the father-son duo of Dan and Brennan explore the latest blockbusters, classic genre films, and the schlockiest of Golden Age VHS rental store flicks in spoiler-heavy fashion. Corrupted Youth Podcast is available on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and more. Take a break from reality, unlock your infinite cosmic potential, and become a dongle.
Oh, I just peered all over myself. It's so cold.
Oh.
It literally just pours him in your lap.
I poured it in the worst place, too.
You know about shrinkage, right?
I poured it on my special place.
Ew.
I have many special places. One of them is my crotch, which is what I'm talking about.
All right, what is this beer?
It says it's the Three Floyds Cheer Team Ale.
Cheer Team Ale. Yes, indeed.
Ooh, it smells good.
Tastes bad.
So this is from Three Floyds Brewery. It's called Cheer Team. It's a new combination of American hops in this enigmatic IPA. It is an instant classic. The very fruity and, may we say, juicy hop character is unrelentingly delicious. The style is a double IPA with an ABV of 7.7% with an IBU of 92, which falls outside of the Geary.
So it's going to be hoppier.
Tastes like tar.
Yes, this will be a hoppier beer since the...
makes me pretty hoppy.
Since the IBU is exceeds the, oh God, Kathleen, your poor face. I have an apology beer for you later.
So. Yes, I know. I'm going to open it right now.
Well, I have an apology beer on top of this apology beer. Oh.
We apologize with our beers.
I knew you wouldn't like this, Kathleen, but I had to bring this to the podcast because this Cheer Team Ale can only be purchased. As far as I know, can only be purchased at the brewery in Muncie, Indiana. I visited Three Floyd.
Munster.
God bless. That's twice I've done that.
You always want it to Son be a Ball State. It's just not there.
Munster.
Ball State wants it to be a Ball State, too.
Right, right.
I got beer in my nose.
Anyway, Jody and I stopped by the Three Floyds Brewery on our way to Wisconsin a couple of weeks ago. And it was, unfortunately, their brew pub is gone, or they closed their brew pub. I think it was a combination of we don't want to do this no more and COVID sucks. So they just, I think they were kind of planning on closing it anyway.
Right.
But as COVID came around, they're like, this is a great opportunity to get rid of this part of the business. So it's just now, it's a bottle shop. It's a Three Floyds specific bottle shop, of course. And then all of their merch and their artists are second to none. They're all these bottles. They're not all different, but they all have a style to them. Much like if you've read any of the Hunter S. Thompson books, he had an artist that had a particular style, for all of the books that, he wrote. It's really, the artwork is very, very cool. and this was one of the few that they told me that was currently only available at the bottle shop at the brewery. So I had to get it for the cast. And as soon as I read it, I'm like, oh, Kathleen's going to hate this shit.
Wait a minute. Hunter S. Thompson. What?
Hunter S. Yeah. Thompson.
Like Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
The artist who... Oh.
The artist like the that... book jackets.
Yes.
The artist.
Stedman.
Yes. Stedman. Excellent.
Ralph Stedman?
That, yeah, James, sure. Shoot. Stedman, yeah, you go ahead and look at that up. Stedman, I think, is correct.
Did you say Stedman Wolf? You are full of the boo.
It is Ralph Stedman.
Ralph, yes. So he had a very particular kind of style, and so do the artists that create labels for Three Floyds.
That do not look like Stedman.
No, this is a completely different style, for sure.
Yeah. They look like Steve Tottlebine.
Stedman does the Flying Dog, doesn't he?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Flying Dog out of Colorado. Yeah. He does all of their artwork.
Yeah.
Yep. Good call, Dave. Anywho, there's not a whole lot being just a retail shop, but you can buy shirts with all these the cool labels on it. I got a new bottle opener that is the Three Floyd skull and wings and crown. I also got a really cool, it's 12-inch tin that I'll hang up in the brewery in my basement.
That's cool. Did you get a sticker?
And I got a stack of stickers.
You always gotta get a sticker. I love a good
Did you bring
sticker.
Any? I love my stickers. I'm sorry.
Did you bring any?
Son of a bitch! No, no.
I brought you a sticker.
Do you want
today.
A sticker? I'll bring you a sticker.
I'll add a sticker to the.
All right, I'll bring a sticker next time. Don't let me forget. Okay. I've got a stack of Three Floyd stickers though, and they're like, hey, do you want a sticker as you leave? Like, oh, I just bought so many dollars of stuff, and they're like, hey, don't forget some stickers. Like, how many can I take? Yoink.
Is this basket this is. Too many?
Right. Can you look over there? How about that brown box of stickers? Yeah, I'll take that. I love me my stickers.
I know.
So it was kind of a pilgrimage to finally visit Three Floyds. I really wish I had been able to visit the brew pub because it sounded really cool. Like they had it all, even the little spot that we were in, it was all decked out in this creepy wood and this gothic, it was all very gothically themed.
That's cool.
It was a bitchin' stop. I'm really happy that we went by there.
So like spooky Halloween-y kind of?
Very much so, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'd probably like it then.
Cool. Dave, you would dig. I think
they doing taps at all for like tasting?
Well, I don't remember them doing any tastings, but you could get yourself a growler or... any, you know, those different sizes of, growlers you can get.
And their growlers really growl, too.
They do. You pop it up and it goes...
Yeah. What are those? What do they call the can ones?
Oh, there's
like growler.
Growler and a howler and a crowler.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were joking. That's
really, no, it's a thing.
Really a thing.
Yeah.
Oh.
The I've seen a couple places.
It's like a giant can that you can actually just then seal.
Crooked Can in Hilliard.
Yeah.
Does them.
Yeah, Buckeye Lake Brewing does it also. They've
yeah.
got they'll just draft, they'll draw right into a can and
yeah. It's bigger
seal it.
Yeah,
than
seal
like
it.
A regular
no one can see that, right?
soda can or beer can.
Okay.
It's so a it's full 32. Or? I think it's 32 ounces.
Not resealable. Once you open it, you drink it.
Okay. Yeah.
And then the recycle it or whatever.
I would assume. Yeah.
I'm sorry?
Yeah.
And then recycle it.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Yeah. It's all. It's all.
I mean, that's what we chucked ours in the recycling bin. I don't know if you're supposed to take it back to the brewery, but
it's full of mercury, so you probably should have done that.
What? Definitely shouldn't have drank out of it then either.
No, maybe it was lead, they told me.
Again.
Oh, damn.
Shouldn't be drinking out
that
of it.
That would explain a lot.
You ate a lot of lead paint as a kid, didn't you?
Did you live under power lines as a kid?
I golfed under a power line.
That's not
the golf team, the golf course was right under a power line.
Oh.
You could feel the electricity in the air.
Could you really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you're like, this is weird.
Yeah. So live wires just hanging overhead, and then what do you
well,
do?
Well, it was 40 feet up, but
right,
yeah,
but
it
still,
was there.
Probably not
yeah.
the best place to hang, like hold a steel or graphite rod, just swing it away.
Golfing makes me tingly.
Ew.
Why is that
I don't
an
know.
Ew?
It sounds weird.
Golfing makes me tingly. It's not like it's like golfing
it's
gives
weird,
me an erection.
It's the weird voice you use.
Well. So I wish if... If you like IPAs, especially double IPAs, and you're in the area of Munster, Indiana, close to Evanston, Northwestern, and also kind of sort of close to Chicago, under an hour, I believe. Yeah, stop by Three Floyds. It's a cool joint.
This is a big IPA.
It's big.
Yeah.
But it's not because like a lot of theirs have. They do a lot of IPAs that have a lot of malt to them as well. Mm-hmm. And this is just like, IPA!
Right.
It's hops!
At 7.5% or 7.7%, it's not over the top. But boy, oh boy, it is all sorts of grassy grapefruit
mm-hmm.
going on.
Grassy grapefruit. Good call. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, when I first opened it, it smelled like kind of fruity, tropical fruity. And I put the second half of my bottle in, and it's way cloudier, and it tastes different. I couldn't tell if it was just because it was warming up or what, but I like this. I really do.
Yeah,
this is
too.
A very good beer. Mm-hmm.
And it says it's juicy, and that's actually really accurate, because it's juicy without being sticky.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know how sometimes it'll leave a film in your mouth, especially
yeah.
like the hoppier, or I'm sorry, the hoppier ones, the maltier ones, like the higher ABVs, and this one's, no, it's clean.
Yeah, you get some sort of mouth coating. Not a mouthfeel, a coating in your mouth. No, it's not as viscous. It's clean. It's light. But yeah, the flavor's there for sure.
And it lingers. So that's a long finish. Mm-hmm. Which I'm sure was great for Kathleen, as it just stuck in her mouth forever. Mm-hmm.
So all of our listeners in the Chicago area go...
How far west of South Bend is this place? Because if it's
about 2 hours. Chicago's 2 hours away.
Right.
So
he said it's an hour out of Chicago.
It's I don't think it's a whole hour, but it's pretty close.
Okay,
hour and a half.
I'm just curious.
We could try it.
South Bend is like dead center, north central Indiana, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So
well,
and
South
Chicago's
Bend is
two,
40 minutes west of might, like where Troy's family lives.
Chicago is 2 hours from South Bend, I would say.
Yeah.
Munster
2 hours
is,
by train, because we took the train once.
Yep.
Yeah, I would say it's 2 hours because it's south of Chicago.
Yeah.
In case any of our listeners are wondering about the geography of Northern Indiana.
Well, I was just curious,
I'm trying to
like
read my map in my mind.
You got to take 80 west.
Right.
The 80-90 interstate west toll road, you know.
Are there any landmarks? Well,
south.
It's going to be flat. Right.
Across a 1200 span bridge.
Ooh.
You can see the nuclear power plant at Michigan City from this toll road there. That's a sight to see, let me tell you.
This is a new voice.
Northern Indiana.
I don't know what that is.
I can't wait
special.
To meet old Troy. Or is this old Troy?
It ain't far from it.
It's interesting to be old Troy adjacent.
Yeah. Well, we only have a few months until Old Troy is official.
Yeah.
Fitty.
Ew.
I know.
I didn't ew.
He can officially have his AARP card.
Wow.
Oh, actually, technically, you do not. There is no age limit for AARP.
I know. We were just talking about this the other day.
And it's actually not a bad thing to do.
No. Tons of discounts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You deserve it.
That's right.
I deserve my discounts.
We all
made it this far. You kids with your phones.
And your rock and roll music.
In your fancy rock and roll.
That's right. Yes, we're only a few months away before Troy starts yelling, "Get off my lawn." So.
That's going to be the theme of my party.
Get off my lawn.
Get off my lawn.
No, it's not.
No.
Because as soon as you start yelling that, the only place you'll ever want to be on Earth is your lawn.
It's like Katie with the parking.
Dave! Get off my lawn!
Yeah, I'm just going to go around your neighborhood and dare all the neighborhood kids to dash across your porch. Ring your doorbell and go away. Oh, no, you have a ring. Never mind.
That's right.
You whippersnappers! Right now, there's no electricity to my ring, though, so that's kind of a bummer.
I know.
Really?
You'd stick your dogs after them.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
The great and mighty
Mitch and Murray.
Who combined weigh like 20 pounds.
Yep.
That much?
Yeah. They will lick you to death.
Yeah, I did notice the last time I was there. Like, I started petting one of them, and I had a friend for life.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Speaking of friend for life, I think this is not the first time. Has everybody here seen Shaolin Soccer?
I have not. But I know of it, and I know that's Stephen Chow.
You should see Shaolin Soccer.
And that was part of your...
this movie?
In many ways, yes. It is the same sort of zany, slapsticky humor.
Stephen Chow is a comedic martial artist, director, and actor. Kind of sort of like Jackie Chan, only what?
More Looney Tunes.
I think, more absurdist than Jackie Chan.
Yeah, because this is like
and he's
super...
the hand of Buddha guy, right?
Yes. Yeah. That's, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Buddhist palm.
Yes. That was close.
Yeah, pretty close. But yeah, he tends to work in martial arts and everything he does. I mean, I can't profess to be like a Stephen Chow expert. I just know these two, this one, Kung Fu Hustle and Shaolin Soccer, the ones that I know best. This is like classic slapstick Chinese like kung fu comedy. I love movies like this.
Those two films are his best, his most well-known
in the United
films.
States. Yeah, yes, for sure. I mean, they're probably his biggest. Yeah, because they're both big crossover hits. Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. I remember, I think it was a while ago. I showed this to my dad. Like, we were just sitting and we started playing, and he was just cackling the entire time. And I think there is something like culturally that he shares. I mean, as far as there's some humor that is possibly lost on Western audiences that he got that even I didn't really get. But I mean, who's not going to get, you know, a kung fu master stomping the shit out of people's toes?
And they're like flat, like pancake. Yeah.
And I will say the people who are not into slapstick humor, like at all, are probably going to not enjoy this as much.
You need to like Three Stooges and Looney Tunes to enjoy this movie. And if you like Three Stooges and Looney Tunes, this is your bag, man. Yeah. This is your kind of film. I'll go back to the word absurdist. It's so much fun. And so absolutely ridiculous, with all sorts of highly skilled martial artists. None of these there's a lot of wire fu going on. Don't get me wrong, and some really, really questionable CGI.
Yeah,
but whatever. 2004.
Well, oh my god, it's so fun to watch. Like just the creativity that they come up with for them. And does anybody know anything about like the rings on the guy's arm? Is that like a dial that actually exists? I wonder.
This is not the first time I've seen that.
Okay.
But I feel like it's at least a kung fu movie trope where like people have at least iron bands on their arm, if not rings. Speaking of rings, that sort of style is featured in the upcoming movie Shang-Chi and Legend of the Ten Rings.
Yeah.
Oh.
I thought of that when
I forgot about
the
that
guy took all the curtain rod rings down to make probably his rings in disguise, but right,
exactly,
you know, the whole thing. And his rings were interesting because sometimes they were loose and sometimes he could like shift his arms out in a certain way, and it's like they all like locked together.
Mm-hmm. So and also to give him momentum when he pushes forward and mm-hmm. stuff. And yeah, the tailor, who was very obviously a homosexual character, and they teased him a lot for it.
I didn't love that part.
At the very beginning, they did. And yeah, even in 2004,
with his red panties on.
Yeah. That was like, wasn't real great about that, but
yeah. Which that little part of that scene felt really out of place because it seemed to come out of nowhere. Like, mm-hmm. I get it, the landlady person was yelling at everybody and mm-hmm. tearing everybody down, so I guess that's why she picked that moment to yell at him about that. But there'd been no hint of that, at least that I picked up watching it, mm-hmm. until that moment. So it was like, the hell is this coming from? This is completely unnecessary.
I don't know how China is culturally, but I think that maybe this is bridging the gap between complete homophobia to something sort of acceptable. Because I mean, he was one of the Kung Fu masters, and he was one of the heroes that saved the town. And yeah, he got teased for being gay, but and his performance was pretty flamboyant
in that moment,
right? Not while he was fighting
anything prior to it. That's why it felt so. Not only did it feel icky because it's like, oh, why? Oh, that's problematic. No. But also, just from a storytelling point of view, it's like, the hell did that come from? That like, it just seemed. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, this. I lost my thought.
So it was just out of place. It felt like it was a joke inserted to make a joke and fill a little bit of time.
Yeah. It's like they needed something to be funny right there. Mm-hmm. You know, like they needed a tension breaker, but it didn't.
Why would a tailor be homosexual?
But I mean, I think one of the reasons why I really like this movie is that it took you on little surprises, like little surprise turns. Like when you're first introduced into the town, you see that laborer and he sort of kicks a big heavy bag up onto his head, mm-hmm. or onto his head, onto his back.
Yeah.
Like, okay, something is amiss here. Like, something is not what it seems. And then you discover, like, they're all freaking, like, three of them are Kung Fu masters. And I thought that was a cool sort of take. And it wasn't like everybody was. It was just those three were.
There's something special about this.
Right.
This slum?
It was a slum.
Essentially.
And well, then the landlady and the landlord.
Right. Yeah. Like they were Kung Fu masters.
I loved them so much.
I loved the reveal of that. Like,
yeah.
Because like it's those two assassins, the musicians, the harpists, who are attacking, and they end up defeating those three that we just talked about. And then suddenly they're descended upon like in a relaxed, almost bored way. Like by like the landlord just shows up. He has his arms around them, like completely relaxed, his eyes closed. And they attack him, and he is just effortlessly just beating them.
Yeah, it looks he's like almost he makes making it so them... that the punches like slide off of mm-hmm. him, and like mm-hmm. that he can use the attacks against the other guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It felt like his whole kind of move in that was more just twisting his body so that when the guy on the left throws a punch, it lands on the guy on the right. So mm-hmm. it's almost they're beating up each other. It was very Scooby-Doo.
For sure.
And then I wasn't thrilled that the landlady's power was being shrieky. But I mean, I got over it really fast because she's also clearly the more powerful of the two, like, and of all of them. And it's not like they made her into a shrew
or right.
Because like, she's just a strong lady who beats the shit out of her husband for being a pervert and a lech.
Well, and then, I mean, she beats the shit out of our hero, Stephen Chow, like, with her slipper, like, just starts whapping him on the head.
Oh, my
God. I love that character. I know that she's kind of an annoying, loud, as they kept calling her, the fat woman.
Yeah.
Even though she's, like, I guess, maybe in China.
Yeah, I guess so.
Let me show you some fat people. Come to America. We got...
yeah, and but, so, like, yeah, she's not, like, the nagging woman. She's just... loud.
Yeah.
She's the boss.
Yeah.
Kathleen at one point said, and you guys think I'm loud.
I did. After she let out like the true like lion roar and the mm-hmm. first time it gets labeled as that, mm-hmm. that's when I said it. I was like, you know, like, and like it decimates every, like blows the clothes off.
Blows their clothes off
and they're like strings smash off their into the piano. Wall mm-hmm. and you know, everything. And like it all lands and everybody's like silent for a second. And I just was like, You guys say I'm loud.
You could barely knock me over with your voice. I mean,
right. The thing is that I didn't see her as being like shrill, naggy person because for the most part, she doesn't give a shit what everybody's doing as long as they pay their rent. Mm-hmm. Right. And if they pay their rent, she leaves you the hell alone. If you don't, she's going to be a real bitch to you. Well, you know what? Pay your fucking rent. I mean, that's kind of where I am. I'm just like, you know. Yeah, I mean, so
of all the characters, of all the Kung Fu masters, she's the only one that shows no fear.
Yeah.
Like she's like, even when she's getting beaten, like she's never afraid.
Mm-mm.
Like in the face of just about everybody. Like
pretty much.
She's probably my favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was amazing.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Sorry. It's time for Millie to take a shower.
We have soap and towels.
No, it's okay.
When I,
when no, I, that's only on July 2nd.
I have a bucket of delousing powder. Oh, Millie, close terrible. Your eyes. Ah, what is this? Why does it burn? I don't actually have delousing powder.
I would hope
I have powdered sugar.
That's even better.
Oh my God, that would be more dangerous for the rest of us if we doused her in powdered sugar.
That was actually a Super Troopers reference.
Oh.
They throw the delousing stuff on. Anyway, sorry.
As a younger man, when I watched this for the first time, the assassins, the harp...
The harpists?
What did you call the instrument?
Oh, shit. It was a... Now I forgot it.
Dang it. Anyway. It's a huge... harp.
Yeah, it's a lap. It sits on the lap.
And it sits on your... And you, it's kind of like a steel guitar without the steel, right? And they stroke it. Mm-hmm. That's a terrible way to say it, but that's the...
You sit in a, it's in your lap and you stroke it.
You sit in your lap and you stroke it. But they do it in a unique way where they don't have it on a table. They sit cross-legged but not on a chair.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a zhang, a guzheng.
It's called a gozhang, but they don't sit on a chair, but they cross their leg and hold the.
They create the chair.
So there's this anti gravity thing going on with these cats. So when I first saw the movie, I wanted to see if I could do this.
Stand on one leg
with it
and cross the other one across
and
your lab.
I could do it at a certain angle, but not at a 90-degree angle by any stretch of the imagination.
I want to see this. Go stand over there.
Hell. We have I can't do this anymore.
Okay, now we have something for Instagram.
Do you need more?
I like how you made a sound effect when you're trying to strum your imaginary guzheng. Can you do that in pentatonic scale?
That was old Pete. That wasn't younger Pete.
That was the Pete with all the meniscus in his knees.
With less meniscus in my knee.
Yeah.
Formerly with meniscus.
Minimal meniscus.
So of all of the stupid kung fu movies that you've made me watch through the process of this. Stupid.
One. This is like the second one, isn't it?
I don't know.
The Golden Vampires.
Oh, okay, maybe three.
Golden Vampires.
Golden Vampire, Spooky Encounter, and this one.
Yeah.
Have we seen another kung fu movie?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. Because here's my complaint.
Sure.
Normally, there's... no movie. It's all just, you know, it's 3 minutes of talking and 20 minutes of fighting.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the kung fu scenes in this. They did not overpower what was going on. I was not bored by them by any stretch of the
imagination.
It
helped move the story along rather than it's the story itself.
Because right.
There was actually a big plot.
Right, right. Well, every time there was a fighting scene, it was kind of like it was a different group of people because the story was like moving along. So, and I know that this is different, like in the wrestling movies.
I wonder if you're mixing like, those two up. Maybe.
Well, you know, it's kind of that's I have the same complaint about those. Is that, you know, in the wrestling movies, it's like, you know, 5 minutes of plot and then 40 minutes of people wrestling and you are like, and it's always the same people. Like, you know, it's like there's our group of good guys and, you know, the henchmen of whoever the bad guys are. And they seem to have like endless henchmen. So it always feels like it's just like constantly the same thing. And though, so even though this axe gang has hundreds of dudes in black suits with hats, every fight was still different.
Yeah. Well, and there's an endless variety of styles and moves that they're using. Whereas in the wrestling movies, to be fair, it's like they slap the guys. They usually get grabbed from behind, and then mm-hmm. two guys run up, and then they kick the guys that are coming, and then they flip the guy over their shoulder that had grabbed him from behind. I mean, there's not a lot of yes. variety.
There's
in the
not
wrestling,
as many moves
as
in
much
wrestling.
As I freaking love.
Well, Ruby especially Luke because in the wrestling movies, no one is hooked up to wires and flying in the sky.
There
as well.
Is that.
So you know, maybe if the wrestlers could also be more aerodynamic.
It, is you that, know, how that works?
I don't know, but
I'll take some notes.
Yeah, all I'm saying is that these fight scenes were not boring. There was something. They first of all, they were not too long. Even the like big giant climactic one at the end, where he becomes
giant Buddha,
palm of Buddha, or mm-hmm. whatever. I said hand of I don't know whatever
Buddhist palm.
Yes, see, I said it wrong twice. Even though that was like hugely long, it still there was visual interest and it was entertaining. So well,
the fight scenes should be really exciting because it's Yuen Wo Ping.
Mm-hmm.
He did the Matrix movies. He did Crouching Tiger.
Oh yeah,
clearly the
I definitely
Matrix
felt
movies.
Like there was some Crouching Tiger moments mm-hmm. in the
yeah
like aerodynamic flying aspects of this movie.
Yeah, his style. I mean, if you follow kung fu choreography a lot, I don't, but like you can see the movements and like, yeah, that's him.
Yeah. Huh. I saw side story. I saw Crouching Tiger in the theater.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed it. I knew nothing about this movie. I have to stop going to movies that I know nothing about because
that's so much fun.
It's not. Well, because here's why. Had I known that I was going to have to read the movie at Crouching Tiger, wait. I would not have gone on March 18th with a horrible hangover. I would have gone on March 19th when I no
what,
longer
what
had a
happens on
hangover.
March 17th, Kathleen?
A lot of drinking.
Was that when you and I were out drinking?
Specifically March 18th, 2000.
Yeah, exactly. When I was Oops. 20 years younger than I am now. So, yeah. But, I would, if I had known that I would have to read that movie, I would not have gone on the day when I had such a terrible hangover. So, yeah. Yes, I also did not know anything about the movie The Ring. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. That was terrifying. Now, it did lead to one of my favorite pranks I ever did to somebody later that day.
I know which one. I think we talked about that.
We talked about it before, about how I used to have a VCR had an eject button on the remote. And I made it like come to life and pop the tape out right in front of somebody.
Oh, that's good.
Watching The Ring cold had to have been awesome. Because that's one of those movies where like you watch it once, and that one time is the time when you get to really watch that movie.
Oh, yeah. It was horrifying.
And I had this discussion recently with somebody about, we're talking about movies that you wish you could never have seen so you could see it again for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
Like with no hype. Because I got to see the Blair Witch Project with no hype.
Nice.
Me too.
Like, no, like people weren't talking about it being the scariest movie of all time. Nobody was talking about like whether or not it was real.
Did you get any of the viral marketing
yes.
beforehand?
Yes, I got the market and nothing else.
So you were hook, line, and sinker the whole.
I was
you
like,
are the poster child of.
Yes, what they were going for, what they were setting their audience up for. I was that audience.
Oh, that's awesome! I'm so jealous that you got to experience
see
that.
Anything of the marketing or anything? It was just a.
Just
I
a
knew it was supposed
saw.
To be a scary movie, and that was it.
The marketing.
So,
was so
but
good.
I saw Pulp Fiction or not Pulp Fiction, Fight Club, like that. Where it had no, like, I knew it was a movie that, like, there was a twist, but I didn't know anything about it.
That's the best way to go in.
Yeah.
And
that's why I hate trailers.
I couldn't stop myself. I watched the trailers for Dune.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, I know.
But I know the story. I've seen the first movie.
Yeah, I mean, you know the story, but, like, it's cool. I
right.
mean, it's not a Kung Fu Hustle, but it's.
It's not nearly that cool.
Well, like, I mean. I watched the trailers for the new Ghostbusters movie.
The new Ghostbusters movie?
Some dingo sent me that under the pretense of a different movie.
Oh.
Dan, I'm coming for you. You're going down, dude. But yeah, it's like, here's a movie that you might like. Oh, shit. Is this a stupid Ghostbuster? Oh, damn it.
But this movie is just a bunch of unpretentious fun. Like, a lot of their jokes are crude, but not like in a crude taste sort of way, but like crude in a sort of a very blunt force kind of way.
They're not crass.
Not particularly. I mean, there are some that are a little more tasteless.
There are lots of kung fu movies with crotch shots all the time.
Yeah. Like women fighting with their boobs or whatever. Right.
Write down some movies for me, Dave. I want to see that.
Ew.
Breasts of Fury.
Okay.
That reminds me of Transor Z. And the missile boobs.
I know I've never fallen asleep during the podcast, but it might be time for me to take a nap.
No, I like this movie a lot. I've liked it since the first time I saw it, like, mm-hmm. 15 years ago or whatever.
Yeah.
Still like it. It still holds up. Because it actually has just a tiny bit of depth to it. Even though it's ridiculous, because, I mean, there is some character development. There's some stuff you learn about characters you think are going to be one-dimensional and aren't.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Pete, what did you like about this movie?
Dave, hold off on that.
Okay, holding.
Good question. Hold off on that. Let's go grab this last beer. My apology beer.
Yes, I'm ready for that.
And we'll go get that and then talk about this movie a little bit more.
Welcome to the Monster Movie Stomp Down, where twice a month we review monster movies from all corners of the planet. Join me, Sludge.
And I went to watch it the other night, and she's like, why are you watching it? She can quote this movie line for line. Like, that's very accurate.
My co-host, Mark.
Don't ask me to do a stomp down on this because it's zero.
Okay, dude. Ruben, what's your stomp down rate?
And our brother from Texas, Ruben.
It's just, I'm like, wait a minute. They tricked me into watching this.
That's what I felt like.
As we give you the history, our review, and the stomp down rating of some of the best and worst monster movies around. Available through the Podbean app, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Amazon. Make sure and check us out on Facebook and Instagram.
Okay, Dave.
God damn it. There's beard all over my notes.
Okay. All right, these buttholes have a terrible website. So I'm going to go to Untappd.
Who is it? What is it? Give
this
me the beer!
This is... Did you open it? Oh, Troy opened it. Very good.
You heard me open it.
I heard... Oh, where do
you... beer all over myself.
Give me some of that. Pretty please. I'll take that one. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. Here we go.
I understand the theme.
This is Who Loves Orange Soda? And I neglected to wear my orange soda drink or orange whip drink. Shit. Try that again. I neglected to wear.
Can you wear a drink?
Dave just did.
Who can tell I'm wearing it right now?
Ew. Orange whip. Never mind. Let's move on.
No. We're going to continue with this.
You have an orange whip.
I have an orange whip t-shirt. Thanks to Kathleen. Thank you very much. Which I did not wear because I actually did not know that this is what we were going to have.
You brought them.
Yes, but I bought this on the way over.
Oh, okay.
He was already dressed because they told him no more.
Forgive you for not being properly attired.
Who Loves Orange Soda by the Tripping Animals Brewing Company.
I love these people.
Yes. I have done myself a disfavor and not looked them up proper.
It's sour.
Yes.
And orangey.
Yes.
And soda-y.
Yeah.
It has a real, like,
Fanta.
Sticky taste like orange soda pop. Stewart's.
Yeah.
More than Fanta.
Yeah, fair enough.
Kind of
I feel
flavor.
Like if I was, yeah. I mean, I feel like if we were drinking this, like, out on a patio or somewhere, like, I would be accosted by Yellow Jackets.
Yes. That is so true. Yes. I'm assuming that one of the reasons you picked this, other than it's a sour and you have to apologize to me for the very
you always say that like, I'm here for the good beer. So I'm like, shit.
But also
I'm gonna...
because there's a big frog on the front.
Well, there was a big frog on the front, right.
Which is what the beast weirdly turns into at the end of this movie.
there is yes. there was part of that involved. Yeah. Yes. I don't have there. I'm sorry. Tripping Animal, man.
What are you looking for? ABV.
I'm looking for their beers on their website and not finding their beers on their website.
Wow.
Usually you go to a brewery's website and it says the beers.
Yep.
Yes.
And I don't have that. I have home, food, tap room, shop, contact, tap room.
Maybe this is the only one they have.
Okay, now pouring. Maybe I have to go three levels down, for heaven's sake.
That takes you to Untapped.
And it takes me to Untapped, for fuck's sake.
So while they seem to have hit it out of the park with this beer, their web design leaves a little to be desired.
Tripping Animal, by the way, if you're listening to this, I do freelance web work. So
right.
You know, hit me up.
This one
6% ABV.
I was just gonna say,
no IBUs. It says
6%, though I don't have my glasses on to read it.
I'm sorry, guys. I cannot find out where you are from. Oh, here, contact. I have to go to the contact. Okay, you're in Doral, Florida. They're in Florida.
Okay. Doral.
Website was created by Florida Man.
Dear Lord.
Maybe that's what it is.
Anywho.
Florida Man creates website.
So there is at our most favorite bottle house, Perfect Pour, here in Columbus, Ohio, there is a wall of Tripping Animal cans.
Gotcha.
So, Kathleen, if you ever want to go there, these aren't cheap, which is why I only bought two.
It's all right.
And I don't mind buying two, but four was out of the question.
Well, I mean, the Good Sours from Pretentious brewed right here in Columbus, Ohio. Also not cheap.
Yeah.
That's lovely.
Yeah, it is.
That's super lovely. Yummy. This is my genuinely my first impression. And that's lovely.
Jen would love this.
Yeah, she would.
It does not.
Would she?
Yeah, because it doesn't taste like alcohol at all. That's her whole thing.
Right. We are talking about Professor Jen.
Yes, Professor Jen.
Professor our Jen. Resident historian.
Uh-huh.
Quite literally.
Yeah, if anything, that's my only complaint is it doesn't taste like beer. It tastes like an orange soda.
Well, with these kind of sours,
yeah.
Although I was corrected at the bottle shop saying, okay, sour isn't necessarily a style. Sour is a thing you do to a beer. Like, oh, God. And I got schooled, which was wonderful. I loved learning about it. But it was a little much as I was pressed for time to get over here. Like, dude, wrap it up.
Dude, you got here like an hour early.
I could have stayed there for an hour or two talking to this dude.
All right, folks, just for the record, Pete is notoriously early and punctual. Like, if you say get there at 7, he'll be there at like 6:45 and just will sit in his car for 15 minutes. Because he does not like being late. He is a man of his word. He is where he's going to say he's going to be.
If he's on time, he's late.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's not something to apologize for.
No, it's actually
punctual.
You're
extremely reliable when it comes to timing.
Where Troy and Kathleen are extremely reliable that we will be 15 minutes late.
And my wife is also very famously late for everything.
Which is hilarious because she's so...
She's got her shit together,
yeah.
Except for being there on time, and it drives me nuts.
Yes. Jody is one that you tell something starts half an hour before it actually does.
That's a thing. Thankfully, she doesn't listen to this podcast, because that's the strategy. They told us to be there at 6:30. Hey, 7 o'clock, you're here on time.
Yes.
I thought we were here at 6:30. Don't worry about it.
I am one of those people. I hate being late, but I am late about half the time, and I hate it. Because, I mean, all we have in the world is our word.
Right.
And when you say you're going to be a place at a certain time, you should be as good as your word. And when I'm not that, when I don't follow through, I feel like the world's grandest asshole. And so a lot of it I can't help. Just because I have certain conditions, and also, I don't know what it is. It's an uncanny, crazy, like, foible of my own physiology, but, like, as soon as I know I'm going to have to go somewhere, gotta poop. Gotta poop.
I mean, that's every toddler on the planet.
Yeah, I guess that's me. Count me among the toddlers because...
King of the toddlers.
No, seriously.
The oldest of toddlers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a 6 foot, 205 pound toddler. Like, no, but seriously, like, I'm like a freaking Imperial Star Destroyer. Like, I dump my garbage before I go to hyperspace. It's just what happens.
Well, at least you know that if you're ever in a major accident on the way somewhere, you're not going to shit your pants in the car.
Right.
Yes.
You'll have clean underwear.
It is something that you are. Your mother would be very proud. Service that you are providing all emergency workers should you ever need to employ their services.
Yes. And also, there's, I'm sure, nothing like driving to your destination in a nest of your own filth.
This is true, too. Yes. Yeah. If we have to be somewhere at a specific time, I feel the exact same way. If we're late, like, mm-hmm. I'm just like, oh my God, I'm like freaking out or whatever. But if it's people are showing up at ish. Mm-hmm. And in my mind, I'm like, okay, well, we should be there by 7. We're going to be there by 7:15. Like, I need a hard start time or we're going to be late for whatever the thing mm-hmm. is. So, which is why we really struggled with weddings there for a while.
Oh my God.
Oops. Your own by...
No, we made it to our own just fine. But that's because a lot of other people were in charge of us that day.
You were on time for our wedding.
Again, other people were in charge of me.
I was not.
You were.
Aw. You showed up.
Yeah, I was. We were there like maybe 10...
My mother-in-law thought you were a vagrant.
Yes, yes. We were.
Oh, yes.
Yes. And then we got sat in the unsavory section of the church. Yeah, kind of.
Well, that's a story for another day. Yeah,
people kept blancing.
Sorry, Dave. That was, I had no time for...
Oh, no. You were getting married. Like, you weren't there watching, like... You weren't there when I saw, like, members of your family and friends looking over their shoulder at us in the back of the church waiting for us to burst into flames.
This is a place of God. How are you
in
this
building? They're probably trying to figure out how... You were wedding crashing the wrong part of the wedding. Like, normally one wedding crashes the reception, not the actual wedding.
You had to work. You had to bartend that night, right? Probably.
Oh, I don't remember, but I just remember that we were just a bunch of unsavory characters in the back.
That's funny.
And then we got to listen to those angelic voices of Jody's side of the family.
Pretty much.
Which is awesome.
It's angelic or not, that's just what they do every Sunday. They go and sing four-part harmony in church.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. I mean, but speaking of enjoy.
Yes. Go ahead. Nice segue. That's really good.
I thought of that with that primitive knot of meat at the top of my spine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, my brain. It's my brain. But... So I really like this movie. I always have. I realize it does have its faults. And, I mean, there's some parts of it that are a little less sensitive than others. But on the whole, as a zany, goofy, slapsticky, funny-ass movie that has got, like, really kick-ass action sequences and some surprising character development, like, I love this movie. But what we were getting at before, we decided to go for the second beer and drink this.
I'm super excited.
Delicious.
And also sad that there's not more.
I'm so sorry. We know where to get it. Mm-hmm. So, I'm sorry, Dave.
No. So, Pete, what did you like about this movie?
All of the above. The Looney Tunes.
My answers.
The Kung Fu Looney Tunes that this film is brings great joy to my heart. When in the casino, when the two masters are fighting the beast and one punches and one kicks and they hit two sides of his face, one in the forehead, one in the jaw, and they kind of hit him, whack, and his face kind of goes burp, much like a Wile E. Coyote mm-hmm. after a good old whack, or an Elmer Fudd or a Daffy Duck where your face just sort of...
Yes, where the duck bill spins.
Right. Yeah. Oh, man.
Other side of the...
Oh, man. It brought great joy to my heart. I just like, where's Mel Blanc? He should be doing some voiceovers here. That made me so, that just makes me so happy. The thing that made me laugh the most, I mean, uncontrollable, had to pause because I was gagging, laughing, is the stupid quick scene where Stephen Chow is throwing knives at the Helena Troy, and he mm-hmm. throws one and misses, and it bing, 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 hits him in the shoulder. And then his buddy throws one and hits him in the other shoulder. And then his buddy pulls a knife out of his shoulder And Stephen Chow goes, ow, and he puts his knife back
into
his
shoulder. He goes, oh, sorry.
Oh, sorry. Puts it back into his shoulder. And then he's like, I'm going to throw these snakes at him. And he puts, grabs his cage of snakes, lifts it over his head. The snakes fall out of it and fall onto Stephen Chow.
Actually, one of my favorite moments is very shortly after that, during the Roadrunner chase, when the landlady was chasing Stephen Chow, and like they vault over the trucks, and the landlady does one of those full spread eagle splats against
a billboard.
A billboard, yeah. Oh,
and then and it squeaks down.
Yes.
And then there's payoff later where she has bandages across her nose from having smashed into that.
There was a scene right before you see her slide down the billboard. Her bra is staring, and I don't know, parts of her.
AC bra and like house slippers.
What was that? House slipper, right?
Yeah.
A couple of things.
It's like part of her outfit explodes off of her.
Oh my God.
Yeah. She has true like Flintstones driving the car feet too during that.
They both did for a while.
During that running
scene. That was
scene.
A Flintstones Roadrunner scene right
there.
Oh
yeah, absolutely.
As they're zooming through wherever they're going, it's marvelous.
Yeah, randomly the desert.
So that's that. My favorite part of the film is that complete Looney Tunes feel of the whole film. Yeah. How about you, Troy? What do you think? What is your favorite parts?
What is your favorite parts?
I think
your singular parts.
I don't know if I can say that in the podcast this close to Kathleen.
My favorite part would be the wiener.
No, my favorite part of this movie, the Stephen Chow scene where he's trying to con the barber out of a free haircut for his buddy.
Oh yeah,
and he starts challenging everybody in the village, and he keeps pointing like, you lady, come on over here, let you be the first one, I'll even let you take the first shot. And she punches him and like draws blood out of it. He's like, oh my god,
starts spitting blood.
He spits blood. He's like, go away, farmers are supposed to be peaceful, isn't there anybody here that can take me on? And he's like looking for the weakest guy, and every time he points to a guy like you, shorty, and the guy stands up, he's like 10 feet tall. He looks like fucking Slender Man. Like,
that was a ridiculous tall man, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, what did I tell you about cheating? the braggart coward is one of my favorite shticks, and he's fantastic at it.
Stephen Chow knocked it out of the park with all that. Whole scene. He did that through the whole movie, though. He was always egging somebody on and constantly getting his ass kicked the whole film.
Yes. Apparently, his superpower is that he can recover quickly after having his ass handed to him.
Until the beast guy literally, I don't know, like beat the shell off of him or whatever. And that's when his magical shine was able to
It cleared his chi.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes.
Cleared his chi so he could finally realize
his potential. Is that really what
potential.
It was?
Yeah.
I missed that.
That's what they said.
Oh, I missed that. Okay.
Yeah.
I might have been laughing too
I don't know what that means, but.
I mean.
It's like a good poop before you get in the car.
That makes sense.
Oh, but he's nice. Never late again.
Yeah. Wait, like his essential forces were going north and south. Big Trouble, Little China.
Right.
His
right.
Chakras were aligned.
Kathleen, what did you like? Did you like it? I don't even know. It sounds like you didn't hate it.
I didn't hate it.
Okay, that makes me happy.
I didn't hate it. It was not what I was expecting it to be.
Her quote after the movie was, well, it's not as dumb as I was afraid it was going to be.
That's high praise.
That's literally what she said as soon as we stopped it. She's like, well, it's not as dumb as I thought it was going to be.
I found that wonderfully tolerable.
Exactly.
Oh. So, I love the Three Stooges. I like some of the old Looney Tunes stuff. I definitely reached a point with the Looney Tunes as I was growing older that it was like, okay, this is repetitive. I'm done. Like, you outgrow it eventually, some of the aspects of
you
it.
When?
It, what are you talking about? What on earth?
Yes.
When are you talking
about? Some of us outgrow.
I mean, it's just myself. It. My name is Mud.
Well, here's what I'll tell you. You outgrow the Roadrunner Coyote aspect of it because it's the same sight gag over and over again.
Okay.
Where some of the other characters and scenes you know, of course, Bugs Bunny forever. You can just watch that. But again, he has lines and he like there's a story there. Mm-hmm. But I digress. So I liked the goofy Looney Tune ness of this. I liked the flattened feet when they stomped on the feet. I liked the knife scene where he gets both of them in two shoulders and an arm, and the guy ends up throwing a wooden handle and the knife is still in there, and the snakes bite him in the lips and he's got these giant huge lips for one part. Like, you know, that aspect is funny. I like the landlady chasing him with her shoe and just, you know,
smacking him.
Smacking the shit out of him with the shoe and whatever. So I even liked a lot of the detailing when they would like pan around the pigsty and you would just like see the various aspects of what people were doing. And there were these little, every little peek into each apartment gave you like a little vignette or whatever. And there was always something comical going on. There was, of course, one guy fucking shitting in the background. And I was
squatting
just like,
to take a poop on the floor.
God damn it.
Floor.
So, yeah. I mean, maybe there was a hole that you don't really see.
There, in a lot of countries, there are squat toilets.
Yeah.
Where it's not like something you sit on, it's just something you squat over.
He was kind of in the middle of a room, but maybe.
Yeah. I mean, I think all they cared about was you getting this visual of.
I just heard Kathleen go, oh.
Yeah.
It's like, there's no vase. There's no vase.
I know. Exactly.
Polio.
So, yeah. I was fucking traumatized by that movie.
Oh. I am, of course, folks, referring to the FDR American Badass scene
please go back and listen.
There's
to that
defecation
one.
Into a vase.
Oh, it's so good.
Over and over again.
Yeah. It was an unfortunate running gag.
Yeah. The movie is terrible. It's probably one of our best episodes, but the movie is terrible.
Might be, yeah.
So, but for this movie, even though I was told that there was peeing in this movie, and
that was disturbing.
It was disturbing. It didn't make me irritated the way I feared it was going to, because like right before we started the movie, I was like, son of a bitch, this is the peeing movie. And then we see all this crazy slapsticky shit going on. And I was like, I swear to God, if they start whizzing around at each other, some sort of shit.
Not running, like whizzing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I'm going to lose it. But it's during that flashback and it's like, yeah, it was horrible. Like, and not horrible the way FDR was horrible, but horrible like, you know, that's some real shit that goes on in some sad places in it.
And
you know,
just as fair warning, if you ever get a chance to watch Shaolin Soccer, there are a couple of scenes like that.
Oh wow!
Of disrespectful bully scenes where there is pee.
That's so
multiple
terrible.
Times.
Yeah. Chances are, I'm not going to watch that movie unless y'all make me. So.
But. Define make you. As a podcast.
In the context of this scenario. Because in any other scenario, I'm like, no, and just walk away. But I did not hate this movie. I even kind of liked this movie. So,
did we know? Gasp? Oh, should we do our ratings quickly before Caitlin changes her mind?
Well, this is already recorded for posterity, so like she can't take that back. That's no, take backsies.
No.
But
so
yes.
In a historical move, I'm going to edit this one. No, I'm just kidding.
That would be historic.
It would. Just cut that part out. There we go. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm expecting for like a two-headed calf to be born. No, like a goose flies backward in the sky. And
No. I don't know. I liked the... You can tell there was real talent and creativity behind the fight scenes, behind the planning of the slapsticky shtick. Because that's not something you can just like fake. That's real artistry that has to go in there to make sure that you aren't poking somebody's eye out. You know, that the hand gets up between the eyes to block it before somebody does right. it. You know, kind of thing. So, yeah, and I kind of liked that all of the characters that were the Kung Fu masters, the three, like, it's like we start out with the three and then, oh, surprise, here's two more. And you knew all along that our worthless, you know, main character was going to end up being something better, you know, so I don't know.
Not just a peed upon kid.
Right. Poor kid.
I'm going to keep bringing up the pee part because I find it hilarious. I don't actually. But so, yes, Pete, to take a cue.
Yeah, let's.
I think since we're all talking about how much we like the movie right now, it's a great time to rate it. So how this works is we here at Could Be Your Bad Movie Night have a unique rating system. We have this six-pack rating. Well, we'll rate a movie from zero beers to six beers. Zero beers, meaning you can watch the movie uninhibited, uninebriated. You need no aids. You just like the movie as it is. Up to six beers. Six beers means you basically have to be completely anesthetized in order to tolerate this movie at all. So that being said, let's start with you, Pete. How many beers do you require to enjoy this movie?
Six. Wait. It's the other way around. Zero. Zero beers.
It's like, what the fuck?
This movie.
I just got done explaining.
I know. I wasn't listening.
It's only been done this like 51 times before this.
52? Well, this is... Anyway, doesn't matter. Zero beers.
Math is hard.
Please go watch this movie. 52 beers or... 52
beers. I think that's how many Pete's had tonight.
Zero beers. Good night.
Okay. Next we'll have Dave. Me. I'm Dave. I need zero beers to enjoy this movie. One courtesy beer. Oh, by the way, folks, we also allow for a single courtesy beer just... for the hell of it. I need no beers to love this movie. I love it as is. Wrinkles and all. I mean, some of the stuff doesn't hold up, but all in all, like a zany slapstick comedy with awesome kung fu. Yeah, I'll take that. So zero for me. And let's go with Troy.
No beers.
Oh, look.
No.
You put that on Instagram, dude.
Beers.
It's a zero beer movie. And we haven't talked enough about, like, yes, it is zany and wacky and funny, but, like, the kung fu is legit. Awesome. It's,
yes.
It does what I love best is, like, give me kung fu ballet, you know? Like, these guys are, like, a lot of it is over the top and impossible to do, but it's still gorgeous to watch, and it's just... Mm-hmm. Absolute a blast. I love this movie.
Yeah, same here. And, you know, just as a quick aside, like, Yuen Woo-ping, he's worked with actors who are not martial artists and gotten great performances out of them as a stunt coordinator and as a kung fu, like, choreographer. I mean, if you look at even Crouching Tiger, like, Chow Yun-fat is not a martial artist, and yet he gives great physical performances. Mm-hmm. If you look at some of the other movies that he's done that are sort of, like, The Matrix... None of the principal cast in The Matrix are martial artists, and yet they give great performances. They fucking physically paid for it, but they did it. So, like, yeah. And another thing I like about this movie, sorry.
you go on and on.
The characters in this movie, a lot of them don't look like martial artists. Mm-hmm. Like, the couple, the landlord and landlady, they don't look like martial artists. The
Beast.
Yeah, the Beast. Like, they just look like people, but that they have, like, these abilities is just it's awesome. It kind of gives it a new dimension. Things aren't as they seem, but anyway, sorry, I digress. And last but definitely not least, Kathleen, how many beers do you require to enjoy this movie?
One.
Wow.
I even if it was on TV on a Saturday, maybe not the whole movie, but I might watch part of it again too.
What?
That's dangerously close to you liking the movie.
Did we find a movie that Kathleen liked?
I mean, I'm not going to tell anybody else.
You just told the whole podcasting world, which is like two listeners, right?
My goodness, a one. And I chose it.
Yeah, and Dave chose. Dave, you've redeemed yourself from all the sixes.
It does not go that far.
Yeah, we did still watch The Swarm.
That's why I picked six originally. It's a Dave movie, right? It's gotta be six.
I hate you too. So that's zero for Pete, zero for Dave, me, Dave, zero for Troy. I'm reading off of a notebook. I have to read everything that's in front of me like Ron Burgundy.
Go fuck yourself.
I'm Ron Burgundy. Zero for
that
Troy.
The best part of that.
And a one for Kathleen. So holy shit.
That is high praise.
Yes, indeed. Finn, go. I'm going to drink another beer.
Right. Kathleen, how can the listeners get a hold of us?
If you would like to reach out to us and share your shock and awe at my response to this movie,
it's true.
You can email us at gbbmnpodcast@gmail.com. Yes. You can use that same complicated set of letters to find us on Twitter. On Facebook, we are Good Beer Bad Movie Night Group. And on Instagram, we are also Good Beer Bad Movie Night. We're hoping to start posting more on Instagram, a minimum, the doodles that Troy doodles during the movies.
I do doodles.
I doodles.
Troy's doodle diddles?
I don't diddle to doodles.
Do you not doodle to diddle diddle? No.
Anywho.
I feel like this has gone on for like 15 seconds longer than I should have.
Probably.
Yes.
Dude it.
That's it. That's who we are.
Well, that brings us to another close. Thank you very much for tuning in. Reach out to us at all of those places that Kathleen asked you to do. Next month is Kathleen's birthday month.
Yay.
And she has said very specifically that she has no idea what she's going to do.
Well,
she
had an idea.
You had an idea.
But some other podcast stole my movie.
Oh, you dastardly devils.
So I have to come up with something else.
Yeah. So we'll figure it out.
We'll have to pick six or seven more movies.
Oh, very clever.
Calling you out, dude. Except you're funnier than we
Kathleen's going to post on the... Maybe she'll post on... You don't post very often on the Facebook page.
I usually just have to just comment in my own defense of some sort of way you've run me over. So
I never run you over. I
respectfully disagree with what you've said.
No, that's not even what it is. It's more... I don't know. It's more... Oh, this is a terrible, awful movie that I've hated. Can't wait to make Kathleen watch it. What the hell?
All right. So we will update and let you know what Kathleen's going to...
Yeah. Maybe I'll go for a good old classic black and white. Something.
It's your birthday, man. Whatever you want.
It's true.
It's really... The birthday months are open. So, and after that, it's Troy's birthday month. So it could be equally as fun or awful.
Oh, no. Maybe you should pick something golden... In October as well.
For your 50th. Oh, is this? Oh.
Oh my gosh. It is my golden anniversary.
It is.
Oh, all right. Good for you.
So let's wrap it up. So Kathleen's going to announce it later. And until next time.
You guys think I'm loud.
Gotta poop.
Can anybody? Like, I felt like you don't have your own microphone.
I felt like Freddie because I was holding the microphone out of the stand.
Microphone on a stick.
Somebody to love.
Gotta poop. Not spill this all over my special area.
I think that we need an oh shit counter on this episode. It's a lot.
I think we're up to four.
Are we up to four oh shits?
I think we're up to three just with the broken headphones, the microphone, and you. Oh, I forgot to open up the beer.
Yeah. And then when I poured beer all over myself.
Right.
Gotta poop. I got it right the first time. Yay. It only took me 51 times.
You're a professional.
Times.
Here's your money.
This one updated with.
That's not money. That's a middle finger.